As you call that radio, we're going to go live for the Thursday night flan. We've got Kevin Peagle Day and Mai Mamero in the house. And I think we can go live to them just now. Veteran Scots poet, frontman of the Glasgow Cross, Kevin Peagle Day.
Hello.
Do you like my acoustic music playing in the background?
It's very new age. I feel like I'm in a tent at a festival somewhere.
That's the kind of environment I like to feel. I like to feel safe. A safe tent. And we've also got Belfast-born, Glasgow-based singer-songwriter. Some of you might know. Keyboard player for Gyro Babies as well. It's Mai Mamero.
Hello.
Well, I just keep the music on the whole time.
Like a blind boy podcast.
I think just like an intro. I think that's enough. I think that's enough for that.
It's getting weirdly stressful.
There's nothing more stressful than calming music, I find.
Exactly.
Do you ever have to listen to calming music to go to sleep?
No, I'm really good at falling asleep. I have bad dreams when I am asleep, but I conk out pretty quick.
I listen to it when I'm on a flight and I'm surrounded by very annoying people who have been very rude. I have Japanese kind of environmental music from the 80s that I like to listen to in my headphones and pretend that they're not there.
Japanese environmental music?
Yes.
What is that?
It was like a kind of like a movement of music in the kind of 70s and 80s in Japan, and I suppose you'd say it's closest to kind of ambient kind of stuff, but it all kind of like nice wee kind of plinky plonky wind chime type stuff. It's very nice.
See, it sounds nice, but actually I do agree with the fact that calming music can be stressful. Sometimes I feel like, you know, especially in an aeroplane, fight or flight pun meant, but you know that way, but sometimes I get nervous, sometimes I don't, and you're just sitting there and you just allow yourself to sort of calm down and drift off, and then you just go, shit, I need to be more alert than this. I need to be ready. As if, what am I going to do if there's a plane crash? I mean, there's surely going to be, you would hope there's better equipped people on the airplane to deal with a disaster with bad odds as well.
So, I mean, I'm the same there, and I think it's very much an ego thing. So it's like, if I'm not paying full attention, then the plane's going to crash. It's me. I am keeping it up through my power of thought.
Yeah, it's like you've had a beer, and they try and offer you a second one. You're like, no, I'm working, mate. that actually did happen to me in Mexico when I'd lost a laptop, and I was on about my seventh flight in 3 days, which was, what's it called, exposure therapy. It was an expensive exposure therapy to try and get my laptop back. And then maybe the fifth or the sixth or the seventh flight, I'm just sitting there, and I had this seat. I had just picked it randomly. I just whatever's cheapest, I don't know. I don't really look at it. But it was just like, I was assigned the emergency exit flight, and then this Mexican woman came up to me and sort of explained that actually, finally, my worst fears or my ego had been massaged. That maybe I just had a look at me, a bit of a guy who gets things done. But she said, you know, if there's a crash, this is the fire, this is the exit door. And I was in the middle of the plane and I had an exit door. I can't remember exactly what I was meant to do if the worst happened, but I did feel like it strangely gave me a bit of meaning. I think I was a bit drunk as well, but I was just like, you know, I think I've got this under control.
Wow. But I'm not scared of flying. I'm scared of boats. I get that on boats.
You don't like boats?
I hate boats.
All your songs, are they not all about
sailing? I don't know what to say. I like being at the edge of it. I don't like being. I do small boats. I just don't. It's just being on a boat when it's sinking.
You were on I booked you to play a boat last year. Aaron, you never mentioned anything about a boat phobia.
Oh, no, that type of boat's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
It's any boat where, like, you can go downstairs and be trapped. Any kind of boat. any kind of big boat scenario.
Yeah, I was once on a boat that
like really far out to sea.
Uh-huh.
Because my ego to Aaron would be like, I could swim there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kev, I kept interrupting you.
That's okay. I was also like, we should try and swim to Aaron, but I don't know if we'll make it. But
well, that's another thing. I mean, the false confidence I have with swimming goes back to me being the best swimmer in primary six. I think it was primary six. And actually, I was the joint best, to be honest. Shouts Davy Strachan, bastard. Joint best. I think we got the same amount of lengths in this. I think he maybe beat me in the timing, but I got the most lengths. So I've kind of always felt like, you know, because I nearly died of drowning when I was in primary four. And then by primary six, I was winning the awards. And
come back.
Yeah. And I haven't. Yes, you know what I mean? Look at me now. But I don't really swim. I don't really swim anymore. And, you know, I've put on weight. I'm not as fit. But I just feel like, you know, if the plane goes down, I'm going to be okay. I'll get a few people on my back and I'll swim us all to safety. It's also not, sorry if anyone's listening to this on an aeroplane, because I know it's a tough time for people being on aeroplanes anyway, especially in America, because of
did something go down?
Yeah, all four, I think, in a week in America.
Oh, God.
And Donald Trump's blaming it on equality.
It was diversity made them
diversity.
Crash.
Oh, right, okay.
So he's blaming it on diversity. And then the liberal argument is that Donald Trump has cut all the funding and sacked people high up in the air. What, regulation type people?
Yeah.
They're all going.
They keep people safe.
Have you been paying much attention to what's going on with Trump and Elon Musk and stuff like that?
No, I've turned all news off. I can't do it. It makes me want to give. It's too much. I have to. But I've gone too far. Like, I know nothing about what's happening.
No, that's okay. That's all right. I do. I go through phases of just watching too much, and then I like to just block it out for a while as well. I've been watching too much. My algorithm right now, because I've got YouTube Premium, and I just kind of watch stuff that my algorithm sort of sends me, and I've watched too much Musk Trump stuff, because now I'm getting sent more and more of it every day, and there's just too much happening. Like, people are thinking I think I've got a bit, I'm going to get a good bit out of this, and I'll maybe do a news report on this channel, and then just something else weird happens. It just changes too quickly.
Yeah, that's the point though, right? Is to exhaust you with mad things happening every day, so you'd feel like you can never quite get a grip on it. So while you're doing all that, something else is happening in the background. Do you know what I mean? I think it's like, it's classic.
It's a deliberate distraction technique.
Yeah, hyper-normalization. Yes.
Invented by the Russians.
Invented by the Russians, perfected by the Americans.
They're doing a good job. And I think they're on the same team. If you've missed this, but Russia and America are pals.
A heel turn.
And Keir Starmer's going over to try and negotiate with Donald Trump and Putin. He's not got a chance, is he?
I just saw some of the press conference there.
Oh, has it just happened?
Donald Trump just saying, Europe's terrible because they won't buy our cars. It's like, it's because nobody wants to drive a fucking massive truck in Paris. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Have you seen the size of the roads here? Nobody wants to drive a massive truck. We don't want to buy your shit cars.
Is this Starmer next to him when he's saying all this?
Yeah, I think he's like...
All right, so I've not had the update yet. I just knew he was going over there looking... Anyway, not even gonna get it. Let's talk about music. We used to play a double headline show on March the 6th at the Old Hairdressers, if I got that correct.
Yes.
And how did you guys meet? Obviously, I've known both of you guys for quite a while, but it's how did you meet each other?
I think that I just heard the name Mime Amero kind of kicking about, and I'd seen she's doing a support slot for this cool person and this cool person. I was like, I need to check out this person's music. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I was doing my Bank of Springburn project at that time, which was I kind of took over a disused bank in Springburn Shopping Centre and made it into a wee arts hub for a couple of months, which was nice. And I was booking a wee kind of variety show. And I was like, oh, I'll ask Mima Merrill, see if she'll come along and give a wee tune. And I kind of specified before, I was like, just so you know, this is a shopping centre in Springburn on a Saturday afternoon. It will be, you know, when somebody says a gig is lo-fi, I was like, this is true lo-fi. And it was great. We had a great time, and I was really blown away by Mima's music. So, yes, that was kind of where we met.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good fun, that gig. You had a really good crowd in as well, like a bunch of students, and yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Very receptive. Although I did swear a lot, and then I realised after there was like kids there with their mas and stuff.
Oh, that's fine. They live in Springburn, they're used to it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's a bit of how you swear.
It's part of the art.
Yeah.
It's an art thing. Mm. We just have to change our words. We do change words if it's daytime and at a festival. Certain words that are too much swearing, we try and change. But if it's after 8 o'clock at night, then, you know, is it me that's the bad artist, or they've been the bad parents? Or
yes.
Good parents, because
this was definitely during the day in a shopping centre. Like
I think you're the bad one.
I'm the bad one.
So that's Springburn, and I'm sure you weren't swearing. I've never heard, you weren't angrily swearing, I'm sure.
I wasn't shouting at people.
You weren't angrily swearing at the kids. Let's just clarify this here.
I was just pointing at them and telling them to.
The Bank of Springburn was a great name. I'm really gutted I never made it.
It was brilliant. I enjoyed it.
I never managed to make it along to any of them. So is that bank now like a community centre? What's going on?
No. I mean, literally the minute we left it, it just reverted back to being an empty building, which is still sitting empty. I walk past it, you know, every couple of days or whatever, and go, oh yeah, that's that place.
That's a shame.
Yep.
There is actually a thing, because I've been I'm ready to fill out my first form. And I've never had the funding before. But I filled out a form the other day. I'm on form. I've missing to fill out forms and try and get funding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd noticed, I think I've just missed the deadline for one. I would have taken too much planning. But one of the things was, I think, where they would double the amount if you took over an abandoned building, like a bank or something, but they would double it. Obviously, I don't really have the money, but people have spoke to me before about that would like to invest in a venue type thing. And I think if you could get double the money, then maybe we could make it happen. Springburn's on the up. That seems like, 'cause I think for it to be affordable in any level, you would need it to be something like that. Is it the right time to gentrify Springburn? In a good way?
Is Springburn on the up?
Gentle, who said that?
Who's told you this information?
All right. I was actually Colin. Colin told me about... I remember about 8 years ago maybe, he said, do you know what? If I had a deposit, or if you ever get a deposit, you want to invest in Springburn. Denison's is too expensive. Springburn's next, that's what you want. And then I've just kind of assumed it's on there. No, it's not like I go to Springburn. So, you know, I'm acting like I'm closer to Springburn than I am. But it just seems like, you know, I hear tales. Of new bridges, tales of new bridges, tales of new
pop-up arts events,
takeaways, pop-up, the Bank of Springburn.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I feel like it's me that's gentrifying it single-handedly. And I'm doing it just by existing in the space. Do you know what I mean? Just by walking the streets.
Band t-shirts. Wearing cool band t-shirts and stuff like that.
Exactly. Like, it's just by osmosis. I'm just gentrifying it just by walking about. But no, there's no real kind of, I mean, what?
What about Alex? What, Alex was doing a thing, a piano drome type thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the auditorium, very cool. Yes. That's great venue, cool. Great people.
Can you tell us a bit of the auditorium?
I've actually not visited it before because it's only opened like certain times of the year and at weekends, and I always seem to miss it. But yeah, they basically made a venue in an old kind of, I think it was for storing grit, which is great in it. Just, I mean, it was like a big kind of structure for putting grit in. And then they brought in all these broken pianos and made it into seats. So it's very cool. I think it's more of a summer venue because I think it's absolutely freezing during the winter, but a brilliant thing for Springburn and a great team up there.
Yeah, shouts to Alex and all the good work him and his team are doing. Yeah, I've seen the pictures. It looks great. So I'm going to check it out. Hello, Mary. Hello, Jigsaw Tiger. Let's talk about the old hairdressers gig. So he's done a few gigs together and he's decided it's double headline time. What's the focus on it? I think you've got, is it a chance to try out new material or he's promoting a new thing or what's going on?
For me, it is a chance to, the band and I have been rehearsing loads and we're going to try out like quite a few new tunes. Because I'm going to try to get the second album recorded by the end of this year for release next year. And with the first record, I did it in lockdown and so, like, didn't have the chance to, like, play any of the tunes, like, for anyone in a room live. So I really want to do it with this record. Plus, it's the new stuff's quite different. Like, not massively.
That was a nervous laugh. Did I just pick up on a nervous laugh? Like, are you changing genre? What's going on? You need to go to the gig and find it.
Yeah, I would say it's heavier.
It's heavier. Right?
Yeah, louder, heavier. It's the weird stuff without me maybe like trying to pull the weird stuff I did before back, maybe. Plus, I've got this big, massive, amazing band now that I can, like, actually sort of arrange stuff with. Whereas when I did the first record, I did every single thing myself. And then I gave it to a band to try to play. Whereas this time I've got, like, very cool people helping me make it.
How many's in your band?
Seven.
Is it seven? Wow. Is it the same-ish lineup from Arn?
Yep.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was really good.
It's like that. But I think when people listen to my first record, it's all quite quiet and sad. I mean, you said that the first time you saw the band live even. So it's kind of like that, but more heavy.
Yeah, no, but that's good.
More mentally, more ragey.
It works amazing live. I'm looking forward to hear how it sounds on the record. But yeah, you all had capes on and stuff. It was just, I don't know. It was like, because it is quite sad songs, but they all sounded happy. Because it's just, you changed the ways you're wearing capes and all the musicians are great and you've got Freya being Freya and just generally just vibes. It's got vibes going on.
Good vibes. So I'm excited.
It's Kevin, what about, what's Glasgow Cross? Where do you use that just now?
So we just brought out our third album at the end of last year. So we are still very much in the place where we're kind of pushing that and trying to just get it in people's ears. We're really proud of it. Like that third album, we worked on that for a long time and I think it's one of the best things I've ever made personally. Super proud of it and I just want more people to listen to it because it's brilliant. It's a brilliant record and you know how hard it is to get music in front of people nowadays, especially when people have so many options and we're kind of inundated with music all the time. So it's just a chance to play some of these great songs live and hopefully capture people a wee bit. Though there will be a new tune in the mix there as well, which is quite exciting that we're kind of already thinking about the next album, album number four, which hopefully we'll kind of get the ball rolling with sooner rather than later because it feels like we've got some nice momentum now. Feels like we're making great work and we kind of have the mechanism to do that.
That's great, man. I remember I've really got a bad grasp of time since lockdown, so I can't remember when I spoke to you, but I remember interviewing you. I think I interviewed you a couple of times over lockdown era, but I remember the time you were less enthusiastic about the sort of the dynamics of being in a band and how difficult it can be. It was, we were just sort of laughing about how difficult it can be, the herding of cats.
Yes. I think that this time round, I've chosen my cats, really, particularly.
Rather than the cats choosing you.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Exactly that. Sometimes you just
walk into the studio and in Martha territory, and they're there until one day they're not.
Yes, and I feel like I mean, there's only three of us in the band. There might be more in the future, but there's only three of us just now, which makes my life a lot easier.
And so what's that setup for three of you? Who's doing what?
So it's myself on vocals, Ralph is on everything, and we've got Ben on the drums. So we also, you know, we have kind of loops and tracks kind of playing along with it as well, so we're quite kind of synced in with a backing, which is really nice as well. I feel like in terms of rehearsing, it's made everything just so much easier. And also it's like, people don't give a fuck. There's some sun playing in the background. People don't care. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's part of the general kind of experience. And also we recorded all that music at some point anyway. So it's nice that it's kind of that bringing in that kind of stuff and then kind of overlapping live with it as well. And then, for me, it's all about my performance at the front as well, which is all very live and electric. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really common these days for when you're dealing with bands, especially if they're coming up from England or whatever, that they're like, yeah, we've got three prices. I can do a solo set, or I can do a small band set, or we can do the full band set. Mm-hmm. Because touring is so expensive these days. Yeah. To make it work, you know, I don't even know how we're going to tour the Gyro Babies album. I'll probably just need to just date myself with a backing track, just walk on with a cassette player.
Yeah,
let's play.
That's cool.
That's too much, though. I think everyone's accepting of a laptop playing some ambience, whether that's keys or a second drum beat. But I like a live drummer. For certain music, it works. Some music doesn't need it. It's tough. I've been really thinking about the tour, and I just think I'm not going to bother. We've got a few festivals. See how the festivals goes. Maybe I'm just getting a bit carried away, but it just seems like it could be.
It's an awful lot of work, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to reinvent myself as a health guru, and. Touring was fun when I was younger, just because I was just going out to party and sleep on a floor. And if I did, even sometimes I wouldn't even sleep. But now, you know, you're just thinking, I'm seeing it like potential hangovers already.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm with you.
I can only feel like shit so many times in the next couple of weeks or months. And
right now we've got exactly four festivals, and they're all split up with 2 or 3 weeks recovery in between.
Perfect.
And I think that's the level that I'm at just now.
Yeah.
But if the album does reasonably well, people are offering this. So, you know, maybe you don't need to tour it like a tour, like the way we did in our 20s. We could do it like, you know, maybe do Dundee 1 week. And then, like, Perth the following week. And you just put it on a poster and you call it a tour.
What does it matter? Do you know what I mean? It's like, see if you're not going to have, like, some kind of manager and you're like, oh, you're staying in this hotel this night and this hotel the next night. See if it's in Scotland, where we live in a fucking tiny country, and you can travel to anywhere and back again in the same night for the most part. It's like, yeah, why not? Do you know what I mean? Do something every weekend.
Yeah. Totally.
Ian Brown, it says Doug.
Hi, Dougie. Doug's in my band.
Doug's in the band as well.
He's one of the best drummers in the Mon the Muppets. Yeah, so my currently I call them Mima's Muppets. We're trying to find a better name.
It kind of works.
Mima Merrow and her Muppets. So, yeah, Doug's in a bit. He's the best drummer ever. He's my favorite drummer.
Yeah, sure, he's to Doug. And Jigsaw Tigers in New Direction sounds exciting.
Thank you. It is exciting. It's just scary, but it's exciting too. I don't want to do the exact same. I was starting to write. I don't know if you guys have had this because you've written loads of albums by now, but I was doing this thing where I was like, I'm pretty much writing the exact same album. Like, they're different songs, but it was feeling the same thing. Mm. And I was getting annoyed about that. So that I just wrote a few mad ones and now I feel way more excited about it again. I just don't want to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I'm killing my band off. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just kill it. Just kill it off. Die. And, you know, start something new.
Yeah.
Because obviously we've always been quite a varied band. So that's probably at the heart of our lack of success of that and many other things. But just by changing each song up, so that it sounds really different. So if somebody gives you, the majority of people are going to say, check out this band, and they check out one song,
yeah,
and they go, that's absolutely terrible. That's not my music taste at all. Why did that person recommend them? But they've maybe just caught a bad live version or a slow one when they were looking for a fast one.
Yeah.
But I still do agree that, you know, I felt like we're writing this album that I was trying to write a song for certain people. I was like, well, you know, the people that like that one will like this one, and the people like that one.
Okay.
And then obviously there's just a lot of chaotic, weird stuff on it. But it's always been chaotic and weird. So you could go on forever. I feel like I'm done with the name. This is my, I started off as an angry young person, and this is my grumpy middle-aged version of that.
Mm.
And then just kill it. Kill it with fire. And then maybe do something new.
I just have a fast forward to us in like 5 years, and you'd be like, "Aye." So then we went on
one more album.
5 years.
Well, do you know what? I've not ruled out. I've not ruled out. I've not seen that. You know, I just feel. I've never felt like this before. I just feel like it's the end this time. It's like it just feels like I'm fucking done with it. You know,
it's been a long time.
It's too long. There's too many. I've seen them come. I've watched them go. It's time for me to join them and the after party of this band.
Yeah.
But Kev, that's how you that's probably what's reignited your enthusiasm. Like I said, we were joking about how difficult it is and now you seem enthusiastic about it. But you went away for a couple of years and focused on your spoken word shows, which you had a lot of success with, which isn't easy to go up to that next level of just being sort of a poet on the scene, but actually turning that into fringe shows and taking it on tour. I don't know exactly where you went, but I seen you were at Irvine. I know that. You made it to the Harbour Arts Centre. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. We get barred for there. So what's the drummer did? The guitarist did. It wasn't actually the drummer's fault, it was the guitarist's fault. What, can we talk about that a little bit? And what your spoken word shows were like, how did the tour of the Fringe went, and how it's different to be in a band compared to doing it as a solo mission?
Yeah, I feel like right away there's a different kind of expectation because you are in control of everything. You're in control of every element. So those shows, I was writing them and performing them and kind of arranging them, also, like, to a certain extent, producing them as well, kind of doing a lot of my own booking on top of everything. So, yeah, it feels really nice to have that level of control as a control freak. And these shows were kind of, you know, obviously people know me from my poetry, and that's kind of, I'm still happy for that to be what I'm known for. But I was working more and more in theatre, and it felt like every time I was writing one of these shows, it was becoming a wee bit less poetry and a wee bit more theatre. and it started to kind of meld into one, which, yeah, just happened naturally, but it's been a lovely thing. And yeah, I've toured these shows all over the UK, all over Scotland, definitely, and certain points, you know, international festivals as well, like some of the fringe festivals in Canada and all the rest of it. So I've been really lucky to be able to have these opportunities, but it's definitely came from just going, I'm just going to do this myself, and I don't need anybody to do it, and I don't need any help. And poetry kind of is quite an independent art form anyway, right? It's like you do the whole thing yourself, you write the poems yourself, you perform yourself, you don't really need anybody else. So it was maybe just taking a wee bit of that DIY ethos and bringing it into the theatre world and kind of combining them. But it's been amazing the last few years. Spam Valley, done really well. Took that to the Fringe. It did not do well at the Fringe, it needs to be said. Fucking pain in the arse at the Fringe. But the tour afterwards, amazing. Do you know what I mean? You're at the Fringe and you're surrounded by, you know, millions of people there to see art, and you kind of get fucking 15 cunts in a room to watch you do this amazing show that's got 5 stars. But then you take it to Irvine and there's like 100 people there who just want to see a show because you've brought it to them. So yeah, I think that I've really enjoyed the touring aspect of it as well. Even if sometimes you're like, you know, you have to spend your night in a travel lodge in Preston, but these things happen in life.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have enjoyed the successful tour if it wasn't for the horror of the Fringe.
Of course, I need to balance these things out. Every few years I forget, I have this kind of amnesia where I go, I might be all right. It might be like, maybe I'll have a good time. Maybe I'll enjoy it this time. And then I go there and I hate my life. So this year will probably be one of those years. So look out for that as well.
Oh yeah, you're going to go back. Is it long enough past? You're just like, maybe.
I think long enough's past where the trauma's kind of died down in my system now, and I need to reinvigorate it. So yeah,
I've still never. But every time I've played the Fringe, it's always been with the band, and I'd maybe do a couple of spots around that show. Mm. So I've always quite enjoyed the Fringe because I just go for a weekend, and then just have a good time and just watch, go to the Free Fringe, maybe pay for a couple of shows, and yeah, just have a good time. Mm-hmm. But I do see, you know, I think I've got trauma by proxy by pretty much every second person on the show over the summer. Is going to Fringe or is at the Fringe or has just been at the mm-hmm. Fringe. Yep. And yeah, I think the majority say that it doesn't go well.
Yeah, I think, by the way, see if you're a comedian, fucking class, brilliant. You should, I feel like it's a dream, but see if you're doing anything else, like it's a nightmare. It's like you're trying to convince people to come and see something and they just want to get drunk and watch comedy, which is fair enough, so they are.
But there is an element of comedy to your show. It's
yeah,
funny.
It's true, but I mean, try and sell that. Do you know what I mean? It's funny, but it's also poetry. All right, aye, I believe you, mate.
Have you ever thought about doing a? Because obviously you're a singer songwriter, but you're also on your album. There's lots of poetry bits, spoken word parts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about taking the My Mamero spoken word thing to the Fringe or just doing it a bit more? Or have you done it? I don't know.
No. I have been writing poetry secretly this year, but none of it's funny. It's all very, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, most of it's not funny.
And
even the funny stuff's not funny. No, Kev's is actually funny.
None of it's funny.
Kevin's genuinely has made me
I
laugh.
I bet you it is.
It's good.
I've seen
but,
it.
But I've seen funny those. Poetry that's not. It's not funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've been guilty of that.
You guys are talking as if people know how to do that. Oh, you just take your show to the Fringe. You don't, that's like a massive achievement. Like, I wouldn't begin to know how to make the show to then take the show to bring it to the Fringe. It's cool.
Just take a loan out and just don't expect to see it back anytime soon.
That's it. And if you've got $2,000 and just want to flush it, just go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's $2,000 I've got. Okay. Yeah.
And then it's kind of like the same thing. Same thing with the album as well, you know, where you've got, do you start throwing, because obviously you spend money recording an album and time and energy, all that goes with that. And then you start to realize, here, I might not break even in this project. So why don't I pay £2,000 for a radio plugger, £2,000? You don't, obviously, I'm joking, you don't actually do it, but you think about it, and you think, maybe what I need is sponsored ads. Maybe if I just got a picture of my band, a professionally taken picture of the band, not that I even know who would be in that picture these days, but you get a professional picture with some of the band, and then you pay the skinny $3,000 to put a little picture in the newspaper, and maybe everything would be different with a sponsored ad and Facebook. And you can't have a Facebook ad and not have an Instagram ad. And, you know, if you want to reach a wider demographic, you've got to go to TikTok ads.
But all that's taken away from the actual point of it, which is we are not young and cool looking enough for any of that to matter. You could put all the money you wanted in it. You could put $20,000 into it, and people would still go,
You've got a good haircut. I reckon just a bit of light, a bit of lighting, and you're fine.
The right lighting. Right.
Just change the age demographic, and your quid's in, man.
It's hard because it's like you want to appeal to people your age, right? I'm quite happy to go, oh, if my whole demographic, if it was just people my age in their like mid-30s that turned up at a gig, I'd be like, magic, cool. But people of that demographic are only going to see bands that they liked in their early 20s who have reformed. Like, and that's unless you were there, you're fucked.
Should we ban that? Like, you know, maybe you're allowed one reunion tour every 10 years. I'm very excited, by the way. I hope that this is happening, but the Beta Band are putting out teasers that they're coming back. Now, that's my favourite band, and we've been lucky enough to tour with Steve Mason before, and I genuinely love the Beta Band, and they've not played. They did the last gig. I was at the last gig at the Barras, I'm guessing 2003. And then they've actually just, I've had them on the show and I said, would you get back together? Never. It's never. That will never happen. It's been what he's been saying for 25 years or something. 20 years anyway. And they're allowed to come back. Bring back them, yes. And I think that if they're coming back, they'll be bringing new music. So we need the Beta Band now more than ever. But there's other bands out there, Britpop bands usually. And they do the reunion thing, but then they do the reunion every year. Should we say, no, you can't do that anymore? You've had...
Yes, we should.
You just can't do it anymore. You're just taking you're stealing all the fans.
Yeah. We should.
And say, only we're allowed to tear. Only
lock
army.
Them away. Lock Ocean Colour Scene in a cage and don't let them out again.
Yeah, I went to see Ocean Colour Scene a couple of years ago, but they're back again. They keep coming back. It's a good example of a band that they're back. It's like, well, you can't keep coming back. You're still there. You've not been back. You've always been there. Bring out a new album. If you no new album, no tour.
Yeah.
What about, how do you feel about the reunion, the anniversary gig? Sorry, the anniversary tours, whereby they do the classic album, which. There's certain albums that I've been really grateful to see live because it kind of means that you've got that's the opposite of what I was saying, which is you're not going to be bored with new songs. You're actually getting a classic album that you love. But it makes sense if it's the 10-year anniversary or the 20-year anniversary, but come on, don't do the 17-year anniversary and the 18-year anniversary and the 19-year anniversary. So do we need rules for this, or which you're taking this, Kevin, first?
I think you only get, you either get the 20th or the 25th anniversary. You don't get both. You have to pick one. Like, I can't be going to like the same gig 5 years apart. Like,
and also you can't be missing it either. You don't. Nobody wants to miss it either.
Yeah.
So that should you shouldn't have to be able to choose. You, if you went to the 20th anniversary and then they say they're doing a 25th anniversary and it's your favourite album.
Yeah.
Who are they to steal another 40, 50 quid off you because you having to go to a gig that you want to go to when you don't want to go to, well, you don't. It's not that you want to go to it. You just don't want to miss it either.
It's shocking. I mean, there's a few culprits, definitely. As much as I like them, but The Wedding Present, every few years I'm like, what album is it? What album has a some kind of anniversary this year that we're back on it again? The other thing about these where they play the full album is I don't want to hear the full album because it's got shite album tracks on it that I don't want to hear. Why are you playing the full? I don't want to hear that song. Do you know what I mean? Play the good songs off the album. Don't play the full thing. Like, why do I want to sit and listen to some album track that I would skip any other time, but I have to go through it live for the sake of completionism? Do you know what I mean?
Is that what you're doing at this gig then, Kev? Are you just picking the, you're not playing all your album?
I mean, yeah, but our album is unskippable. That's the point. This album is so good that you can't skip a track on it.
No, I agree. It's really, really good. I'm glad you're playing them all.
Claire, have you gone to any of the anniversary band?
I went to an Idlewild one. It was good. It was like remote parts, start to finish. It was really good. It was really good.
But that's been banned for 10 years now. They can't do that one again. 10 no, years, 15. You're not going back?
Probably not. But I'm fickle with stuff. Like,
I seen Idlewild and we played Aberdeen. And I remember Idlewild being the angry sort of punky stuff they did.
Yeah.
What's going on? Out of the window, now. Everyone says you're so fragile. Yeah. So I was kind of like, we were on the same bill and I was like, yes, I'll be relive my youth. But it was the other stuff. Yeah. The commercially successful stuff. But I never really got into it. I don't know. I think I was in my techno phase when that came out and I couldn't get into it. And it was
first couple of albums were brilliant. They were great.
But I mean, I couldn't, it's not like I could go on stage and tell them to play that. I mean, I had an Access All Areas pass. I could have went on stage and asked them to play Everyone Says You're So Fragile. I could have did that if I wanted to, but I just thought that was a bit rude.
Yeah.
It's their fault for putting me in that position to even consider it. But everyone likes different things, I suppose. You're saying skip the album tracks. You're saying skip the album tracks, but surely especially back in our younger era, I'm assuming you're old enough to remember CDs. Mm-hmm. Back then, we listened to get our £15 worth, we listened to every song, and it was the singles that hooked you in, and then you had to convince yourself that you'd made a good purchase, so you played it over and over again, and it was actually, you would be surprised, some of those shite album tracks became the favourites. Or is that just a thing that we told ourselves so that we appeared more interesting to other people who said that they want the hits?
Yeah, we definitely all did that thing where we pretended which is the one that other people won't like, and I'll say I like that one because I'm going to be cool and obscure.
Yeah.
We've all done that.
The 10-minute jam breakdown.
Do we mean it? Do we mean it? Do we mean it? Are we lying to ourselves? Because I feel like I mean it.
I there are some that I mean it. I can't name any of them now, but I could also feel the pressure to be weird and like not like the hits.
You don't want to see the hit. We don't want to mention any more bands. We've already got Idlewild's lawyers on to us. Yeah. So Idlewild's lawyers is done.
I love Idlewild.
I'm well away, but thanks for the chat, folks. Steve Mason, the Beat a Band of Fair. I hear that. I just want to rephrase that to clarify. I just didn't know it, that Idlewild set. I wanted it to get angry and punky.
It is different.
What was the success? There was a big successful one that I did know, the remote part or something.
In the remote part was their big successful album.
So there was a couple in that I did know that got through. They got through my world of techno and hip-hop at the time. But let's not start talking about bands that they've got good songs and bad songs. I feel bad doing that. what I would like to do is talk about the Beyond the Cringe. Kevin joined myself and Jim Monahan a couple of weeks ago. This is going to be an audio podcast only, so this is a different audience. It's a different audience. The YouTube people and the audio podcast people. But Beyond the Cringe, can you tell us a little bit about that and what can people expect when that comes out in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting show, actually. So this is Jim Monahan's podcast, and the idea behind it was basically to take apart the idea of the Scottish cringe, which is that concept of people being kind of ashamed of Scottish identity, or Scottish identity being something that, you know, you don't want to see reflected back at you. So we really got into that conversation and talked a lot about it through the prism of art and music, obviously, politics, loads of other stuff coming up as well. So it was a really interesting conversation. Myself and who else? Kirsten Innes was in, and Grant McPhee as well. So it was, a really interesting conversation. And people should check out the podcast when it comes out. I don't know when that is, but when it comes out, you should have a look.
It's up to me. It's up to me.
It's up to you.
It's up to you.
The editing.
Jim wanted a few piled up before we released them, but we did another one last week as well. I ended up being a substitute for a guest that couldn't make it. And they're really good. I think that's three. I think we've got three in the bag now.
Brilliant.
Plus an exclusive interview with Jim talking about the concept. Beyond the Cringe, it's probably just going to come on, you call that radio's channel, and it's going to be like one every week for about 4 weeks. Like a four-part season type thing. So yeah, look out for that. It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. How can people check out your music? Claire, you go first.
My music, you'll find it anywhere you listen to music. Just there's no other My Mameros, so just type that in to Apple or Spotify or Bandcamp. Go to Bandcamp or my website's mymamero.com, and I've got an album.
Sign up for the newsletter.
Please sign up for the newsletter, because we need to, social media is about to, it is on fire. So we need to go back to the old ways of communicating with each other. Yeah.
The good old days.
Yeah, and I give people cheap tickets and little small things I can if you're on the mailing list. If you're on the mailing list, you can get cheap tickets to our gig next week. I think there's still some reduced tickets available, so people should please come to that. We've been working really hard. I think it is going to be a really good night.
Well, I'm going to play Shall We Rest just now, if you want. That's my which was voted... One. It is my favourite, and it was voted number three by the listeners of You Call That Radio as the best song of 2023, I think.
That's so nice. Yes.
So tell us about this song, and I'll give that a spin, and then I'm going to speak to Kevin, and we'll play a song from Kevin as well.
Yeah. So Shall We Rest is a song to just... I wrote it. Well, I'm in my head a lot, and I have a lot of, when you're sitting trying to make your dinner, or you're having a shower, or you're just trying to have a nice time, and your brain starts just trying to tell you, I don't know, all the ways you might die tomorrow, or all the terrible things you've ever done in your life, or, what you should be ashamed of, or just, when your brain really gets at you. So this was a song I wrote for myself and to anyone else who suffers from this, to just tell me to chill out. Just stop doing that, if I can. It's called Shall We Rest.
Thousand violent ways. Ooh.
Heavy metal version coming soon.
Yeah, it's really, the new stuff's really different. But yes. Oh no, check that off.
Hold on, explain. Okay, that's a good, it's a good bit though.
Chat in the album.
Spotify's killing that as well. The skits thing. Because you need to put a skit at the end of a song now, you kind of put it at the start. Because people only give you 10 or 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can't have a random 1 minute skit in the song because people, it will just recommend that song or someone just picks a song at random.
Yeah. That's why I had to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I had to do that for the new album as well. I don't like it. No. And I didn't want to put skit in brackets either. It also, it killed the another thing that annoys me. Spotify killed the album. It's actually a lyric in the new album. That it will be on Spotify eventually, I'm sure. Fucking hell. But they killed the secret track.
Yeah.
Because you can see it. Remember, you used to go silent at the end for the last song and then something wacky. But that's gone as well. Bastards.
Yep.
What can we do? What can we do? I mean, I think I'm going to do is you only get to hear the album if you buy it in Bandcamp or you buy a CD or a vinyl. For a while, how long can I do it without flinching? Is what I'm thinking, and I'm just going to put a new single out today called "The Catch" on Spotify. But it's not all about me. It's tough because ideally I want everyone to listen to the album as a one thing, but you've got to get the hype going for the album, so you can't do that. So. Yeah. What my plan is, I've got another single, it's a bit of a weird song ever as a single, I know that, but the second verse goes on way too long. But I was like, why am I cutting this? Just because it should be shorter. I just thought, no, I'm going to keep that weird second verse long.
Mm-hmm.
But the next song is Her Fancy Man, and that comes out on the 12th of March or something, and that should have a music video. And it's actually got a na-na-na, a sing-along na-na bit. So it's an actual real single's coming out soon, so don't worry, I've not lost my mind. We have got a song, we've got one, and it's coming out next month. But, and the only way you're going to hear the album is if you actually pay for the album. And then I'll probably flinch a bit, because if you've got an album, you just want everyone to hear it. Yeah. And unfortunately, most people listen to it on Spotify. What are we going to do, Kev? How do we fix this?
I mean, we don't, to be honest. Unless there's the fall of capitalism, then it's going to just keep on getting worse, because people are now completely trained to think that music is something that they have for free, that it's something that they are given, and that they need to be given new music regularly. I totally get it. And some people are doing the thing where they put out a single every month or whatever. It's no for me. I came from the album being sacred, and it still is for me. I still think of it as a whole piece of art. Do you know what I mean? It's that thing of, I make hour-long shows, and it's like you have to take people on a journey throughout that show. It's the same with an album. You have to take your listener on a journey from track one to track 10, 12, whatever it is, and give them ups and downs, and give them, the story bit by bit, and build up an idea of what you want them to feel and how you want them to kind of look at the world after they've finished listening to it. I think I'm fair play to the young ones who are kind of gaming the algorithm and doing what they need to do to get the music out there. But I'm going to stick with my guns and keep on making the art that I want to make. And that, for me, is the album.
Mm. Would it be okay to do an ironic TikTok dance? If we're doing it ironically?
Wait, is that your plans, Mark? You got one?
I've thought about it. I was talking to Jo about it the other day, and she was talking about it as well. It's like, of course, we're that old that we think that we, you know, we're like, oh, TikTok, 5 years late or something.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of this TikTok. I probably don't even dance anymore on TikTok.
Well, this is the thing, right? See, whatever the thing is just now, whatever the cool thing is, you don't know it. We don't know it. We won't know it for 6 months to a year.
Skibbity.
And then it won't be cool anymore.
Skibbity toilet. Is that not something about skibbity toilet?
Yeah.
That's probably cringe now, isn't it? That's
I don't even know what that is.
Another word. Well, there was there's skibbities means a thing. Yeah, I watched some TikToks where parents and their children were like, this is so embarrassing. Their parent would be like, cool, and their child would say a word that I didn't know. Mm. And they I think you're right. I've never been cool, so I'm just giving up now. I'm just doing what I want.
Yeah.
But it is sad because you do put a lot of work into making a thing, and it is nice when people hear it.
Yeah.
Well, just do it for yourself, you know? My social media for the catch was sorry. That's the vape. The vape's getting to me. I caught a flying banana at Lindisfarne a few years ago. So I thought, that would have been viral a couple of years ago. It did go viral, actually. But this time it didn't. It's just not, it's just, 20 likes on Facebook.
Yeah.
The band page is absolute nails to get anything, you know what I mean? You need to have something that's going to cause a reaction. You need something political. And Facebook, or a story about something embarrassing happening to you, that'll get you likes. You know, that'll work. Instagram, I mean, I waited too long to start on Instagram for the band. I was just sick of having too many social media platforms, and I refused to do it. And then, in the last few months, I've started the band Instagram, and we've got 300 followers or something, but. You know, we've got about 6,000 on Facebook, but nobody on Facebook sees it. So what's the point? And you call that radio's got a new Instagram? I think we got about 300 in a month because I was sharing other people's things. Like, you know, I think I put up a video of you, Claire, and I think it's easier to build something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you're still playing shows you want to play and you have a fan base. So, like, I think we have to take all this social media stuff with it. It's not the only way to do it. Like if you're playing gigs and people are coming, and
I don't really like playing gigs anymore either, though. But I had a couple of bad experiences, but it was fun to play in Dumfries on January. I think that's maybe cured me because I played the gig in Dumfries. Claire was on keyboards, and you know that way where it's almost like the worst thing happened because everybody hated us and everyone left. Mm. And that felt really good for me because, like, you just worry that it's going to be bad and then it turns out it's all right.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd rather it went really well, but I hate it when it goes all right. Love the people leaving.
Yeah, totally. See, being hated by a room, it makes you feel alive. I love it.
It's the best one was getting booed by about 800 wrestling fans as I fell over a rope. That's proper. That was proper hatred in the crowd's eyes that day as I shouted, get a job, get a job, get a job at them. And I don't think I'll ever get that feeling back. I was, you know, our bass guitarist, John McCrory, at the time was scared. It was his first gig.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that was quite good. And also, I did that gig without even a beer, not even one.
Yeah.
So I think that was quite good to sort of embrace the fear as everybody hates you. That was quite good. So I feel like maybe, like you said, you know, like we're just talking about the fringe not going so well, so then you enjoy the tour. Maybe that means that on March the 29th at Slay Glasgow. Tickets on sale now. Yeah. The album launch. There will be people that will enjoy it, and I believe this is actually really good.
Yeah, there will be. And also, people didn't all hate you. That's not true, Mark. You're making yourself out to be more of a badass than you are. Like, there was definitely two rows of people who loved it.
two rows? Right. Okay, let's not exaggerate. Let's not exaggerate here.
10 people.
10 people loved it. It was like, there was 300 people in that room when we started. You know what I mean? It was 300 people. The only people that loved us in that room was, there was a couple of fans that turned up at 11:30 at night in the middle of storm, whatever it was called, but it was the mad storm. Yeah. But the only people that really loved us was the people that worked, that were tidying up, because they were, this is great, they were all tidying the tables up early, and everyone got to go home at midnight, rather than probably 12:30 it would have taken to tidy it up with it. But I mean, I don't take that personally, because it was just, we were not the right band at the wrong place, or the right band at the wrong time.
Yeah.
We'd been on a Burns night. It was a really nice Burns night. It wasn't an alternative Burns night. It was proper Rabbi Burns night. It was fiddles, a cappella, female vocalists, incredible, singing Burns songs, and Michelle McManus hosting, Mellow Party. John McMustard was doing a great folky type vibe.
With a choir.
And yeah, it was just a good Burns night, and then we just ruined it. We just ruined the whole vibe, and I did kind of enjoy it a wee bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, the worst happens and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You can buy our album if you catch me at the bus stop. I've waited no more than 10 minutes for a bus and I'm in a good mood. Says Unholy Frankenstein. I think it's Joe. Yeah, check out Unholy Frankenstein's album. I think you can get it on Bandcamp as well if you don't want to go try and find them in random buses. But it's great tunes. Show it's Unholy Frankenstein. I get all my TikToks from Instagram like a grown up. Me too. Me too.
Yep.
It's the.
Thank you.
I have tried. It's not what I'm too cool for TikTok either. It took me a couple of years, but then every time I post, well, let's see. I put up the same video that I put up earlier on. Let's see how it did. Kevin, I've got big astrology for beginners. Do you want to give us an introduction to that?
Yeah.
I've got the video version actually. I've managed to.
Amazing. So this was the first single off the new album. It's called Tower Win the Culture War, and this song's called Astrology for Beginners. It's kind of about the idea that loads of people are really kind of fixating on astrology just now. And I think partly the reason we're doing that is because we are losing control of our own lives because of world events, and we've got less money, cost of living, all that kind of stuff, and we're looking for something bigger to make sense of it all. But I also think that part of that is people kind of giving up on being responsible for their own actions and saying, oh, listen to me, it was, you know, Taurus was in Capricorn or whatever. So yes, this is a song about that, and if we're watching the video, then you'll enjoy my performance alongside the brilliant Karen Dunbar, who is in the video with us as well.
Kevin Peagall Day and the Glasgow Cross. And if you want to see Kevin and Mai Mamero play both with both their bands, go to Old Hairdressers on March the 6th. And Kevin, I think, has kindly sent me a discount code, which I've put in the comments here. So you get a discount ticket here for watching the show. Just click that link, and I think you get it half price or something like that. I'm not sure. But I'm going to use that link myself because I'm wanting to check out the new sound from Mai Mamero and hear the new album from Kevin Peagall Day and the Glasgow Cross. Also, while I've got yous, we have hold on. I like stargazing, astronomy and astrophysics. Yeah, what's going on tonight at the Planetary Parade? I think it's tomorrow or is it tonight? There's going to be 7 planets or 9 planets, I don't know. I think there's a lot of planets in the sky. If you live somewhere rural with no light pollution, which kind of rules me out. But I hope that you get to see the planets. I hope that the sky stays clear for you and you get to take some medicinal mushrooms. That sounds good. And yeah, we've got a new single. I'll maybe finish with, I'll finish with my single. Gyro Baby's new single, The Catch, which is out on all platforms as of now. It came out this morning. So we'll just hopefully everyone plays it on Spotify or buys it on Apple or whatever. And then after that, the rest of the album is going to be a Bandcamp thing. So I want to invite you all to, on Monday night, to the listening party. So for the first time, as we were talking about earlier on, to me it's important, and I think a lot of people still agree, that it's important to listen to an album from start to finish. So on Monday night, the first time ever, and probably for the last time, for a while, you can listen to the album from start to finish. So let's see, here is the link. So that's it. If you click that link right now, there's a button to RSVP. Don't ask me what RSVP stands for. I think it's Latin for I'm gone. But that's where to listen to our album. 8 o'clock Monday. It's the album from start to finish. Dreams Are Mental. A lot of time, energy and money's went into making this as good as album as we could, and I think I'm proud of it. I think I need some validation first, but I feel like it's a good album. So please click that link and join us on Monday. It's free to listen, and hopefully that inspires you to come along to the live gig on March the 29th at Slay. We've already announced Ocean Views as support. We've got CCTV hosting a Scheme Hing Cypher with a few different rappers. And then we've got another special guest that I can't tell you who it is yet, but that will be announced very soon. And then the after party's 10:30 if you want to stay out all night, you can. But if you just want to stay for the first hour, because the first hour is Yoko Pono's Mobile Disco, and they're incredible. They're going to be doing a DJ set with live fiddles, and they're amazing. So I'm absolutely delighted that they're going to be joining us as well. So that's March the 29th for the big launch. But come along at the free listening party on Bandcamp on Monday, 8 o'clock. I hope you can make it for that. And I'm going to just play the tune, the new one, if that's all right with you guys. Dimly lit scheme, cozy console, skull duggery. So busy, it's not funny. Dizzy, spun and fuzzy, brought down to earth. I was roundhouse kicked, well founded, getting punched about once per month helps me keep well grounded. Overall, I'm more well rounded. Link up the subconscious with the odd knockout. Bless thyself with wisdom. To maybe shut up about stuff we don't know much about. Still chase the dunt of joy that can make me naive. And I know that dreams are mental, but I still choose to believe. Catch a dream, you're out of debt, with a fish or price, fish in there, whaling. I can't even leave the flat. Foot landlocked by the landlord and a tidal wave of panic. The psychic spike of heartbeat palpitations. How can I complain when bombs rain down on nations? The perfect early sunrise conceals a fucking mist. A bright dot in the sky, bringing bread or certain death. Catch a dream, you're a young day, with a fish of price, fish in there. Wear it boots up to your neck, get those feet under the desk. We are here for what is next. We are here for what is next. We are here for what is next. Gallop, I shall gallop, watch me gallop away. Gallop, star jump, gallop, watch me gallop away. Gallop, see me gallop, see me gallop away. Gallop, star jump, gallop, watch me star jump away. Can I star jump away? Star jump away? A perfect star jump is landing in the same position. It is an underutilized mode of transport, but you tend to land in the same destination as you left from, which is why it doesn't get used very much.